Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk trucks at Kansas. Super pumped, super excited. Saturday night racing in a truck series, intermediate track, full grip, full speed. These are compelling races. I love this, man. I love NASCAR. You love NASCAR. Thanks for being here. It is awesome. We're having a lot of fun. Maybe you want to be a part of it. $30 for the month of May. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. RaceForThePrize.com, send it over. We'll give you access to the sheets. If not, that's fine. Like, subscribe, share. We love having you. We'd love to help you out more, save you time, help you make some money, make it easy for you. So let's look at the data. Before I go into the data, you know, I love talking NASCAR. You like talking NASCAR. If you want to talk NASCAR, just throwing this out there, record some audio. Send it over to me. I'll platform it on my YouTube channel. It's always cool. It's always fun. DM me. Send an email. Don't have to. Just putting it out there into the universe. If you're ever interested in creating content, love to have more content on my channel. So this is Quintessential Truck Racing. Nighttime. Got enough banking at Kansas. Full grip. You're running full throttle. With the drag, creates drafting. Four wide, five wide restarts. Can be absolute mayhem and madness. It can also be okay, and they get through it. And then we have some pretty solid green flag runs, and the cream rises to the top. Probably not too much different than Las Vegas. Can go a little hairy and sideways, but it doesn't always do it. And typically we're going to see the best trucks move to the front and the guys filter towards the back, who we expect. But their door is always open with the possibility of a caution and with restarts. This is very reminiscent of the 2019 Cup Series package with all the drag and almost IROC style. But it works in the Truck Series, because they punch that big hole in the air, you get good drafts, and you still do get some pretty good green flag runs as well, which are exciting and compelling. Hosover and Heim had a great battle. I mean, look, if we look at some of the laps before, well, first let me put up the optimal lineup real quick, just give you a little taste. And that was Hosover, Gray, Eckes, Friesen, Ingram, Allen. Eckes steals the race at the end, but wasn't necessarily a felony, maybe more of a misdemeanor, because although he finishes first, he was in place to pounce all race long. And hey, we get a restart, we're running three wide side by side drafting, guy takes the outside, he slips by and says thank you, I will take this win. Although he may not have been the better driver on the day, Hosover and Heim were great, Sanchez was great, doesn't quite get to finish. We get Hosover leading laps, Heim leading laps, Sanchez leading laps, throw a blanket over him. And that's pretty much been the case this season when we try to differentiate between the top trucks. Aside from Kyle Busch and his domination at Texas recently, we'll talk about that later in the podcast, no truck really has separated from the field. And that's a situation we're going to have to accept and wrap our minds around as we make our picks for Kansas, that who's going to lead the most laps? Who's going to get out in clean air and separate? And even at Kansas, we see drivers separate, and then the field kind of comes back to them because some drivers are just better on that day. So again, Sanchez, Heim, Hosover. You have other guys that run up close to the front that have good days. Again, Hosover, Gray, Eckes, Friesen, Ingram, Allen are your optimals. Lawless, Allen in the Nice truck. Lawless, Allen, optimal. You guessed it, two. Laps down. Hey, what are you going to do? Embrace it, accept it. We'll talk more about that situation and just kind of the norm in the Truck Series. When we're looking at value, it's not so much comparing value to the top tier or imagining the value picks outracing the top tier. It's just amongst the value drivers, who has the best day? Who's the best driver? Two laps down. Let's look at that battle, or some of these battles. Look at the laps real quick from that race. And I'll just fly through on the screen, and you can see it's ranked right now by finishing position. But I want to go towards more some of these green flag runs. As you can see here on lap 48, so you get Nick Sanchez leading about 10 laps. But Hosover is able to slowly, methodically come back up. Wide track, make a move, make a pass. Hosover wins a stage. All right, let's do it again. Let's see what happens on pit road. Now Heim takes the lead. Heim has the lead for about seven laps. And then we have Hosover again. doing the work, catching back up, making the pass. Heim's not done. Heim gets back at him. A great battle here in stage two if you want to watch it on YouTube. Ultimately, Heim scrapes the wall a little bit during this crazy back and forth, and Hostver will pull away. Pretty good racing. After pit cycling, though, hey, Heim, you're back in the lead. Pretty fun racing. Then we get the caution at the end, and Eka says, I'll take this baby. So no one really runs away with the race. It's a pretty good back and forth. Different drivers leading during different times. Different drivers picking up fast laps during different times. Sanchez, he gets his moment down here as well, where he leads again after leading early. So three guys that we mentioned earlier, just driving their way to the front, making some moves, able to get some places in green flag runs. Restarts are going to really put some people in clean air and help them out, but ultimately I don't think it's going to be steroids for these drivers. That as long as you don't have a wreck on a restart or an absolutely abysmal restart, the drivers that we like should finish inside the top 10, and the backpack should finish in the backpack, and that middle tier, the bottom of the top tier, should filter in where they're supposed to. We may have some creep through a little bit, but as we run green, plenty of space in this track where if you have enough power, you're going to be able to work forward. You're going to be able to side draft and run the bottom or run the top to get out of the dirty air, to avoid the drag and get yourself a little bit forward, space by space, bit by bit, position by position. Let's look at that optimal lineup from Kansas from last year a little more thoroughly. You can only fit one hog in that lineup, price-wise, and that's Hostver. Heim and Sanchez don't end up in there. What becomes a better situation is the place differential that opens up. Taylor Gray, 14th place differential at 8,500, top finish. Finishes much better than where he should. Now, this is definitely dependent on that caution at the end. So don't build your lineup based on this one Kansas lineup. We'll go through a couple more real quickly. But remember, it's going to be highly dependent on the situation that unfolds at the end. Eckes ends up in because he's just slightly cheaper than Heim. And Sanchez ends out because of the restart at the end that filters him on a bad restart. Tough build if you had Sanchez in your lineup because it was a good selection. Just the break didn't go your way at the end. Went to Eckes. Friesen gets you 13th place differential. Typical Friesen type day, although he has been pretty good at Kansas in the past. And then gets a little bit of a boost. And then Tyler Ankrum, also with a finish much better than where he ran, gets you 12th place differential at a really cheap price of $6,900 for a Hattori truck. Although Hattori was not good last season, still that's a significant markdown from where we usually got him. We'll quickly look at the optimal from the spring race. Grant Enfinger runs away with it. Optimal, one hog. We do get a second guy that does lead laps in Corey Heim. Friesen, they're all place differential. All place differential plays. Ankrum, Taylor Gray again. Lawless Allen again. Lawless Allen not on the lead lap. There you go. Interesting. Tyler Ankrum, again, in that Hattori truck. So two repeats there. I mean, if you were to make some quick assumptions, you would say that, hey, I think Tyler Ankrum seems to be pretty comfortable at this track. Looks like Taylor Gray's pretty comfortable at this track. Lawless Allen as well. Lawless Allen will be running in the ARCA race this weekend. So it's going to get plenty of reps. Ross Chastain, too expensive, doesn't work. But again, a big place differential score gets to the front. And there you go. Kyle Busch loses some spots, doesn't end up in the optimal lineup. Let's look at 2022. Just running through real quick. Place differential, place differential. Kaz Grala, value pick, not on the lead lap. Kaz Grala running for Young in this race. He starts 30th, gets a 12-place differential, finishes 18th. Not too much of an increase from his average earning position of 24th. And then Timmy Hill, punting, finishes a lap down, 25th to 19th. Gets you in there. We'll look at one more, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the last Kansas race in specifics. One hog again. We're really not seeing 2 to 3 hogs. Just the way that has worked out because the place differential has been just a better point per dollar play and has helped build better lineups. Again, we'll know that going into the race if the place differential is there. If the place differential is not there, then we could see two hogs pop up. There's going to be 2 to 3 drivers that lead laps and run fast laps, and they're going to be expensive. It just comes down to, do those expensive second and third hog or dominators end up being better point per dollar plays than the slightly expensive place differential drivers who can make gains on restarts, hang on to the lead lap, and have so far shown to end up in the optimal lineups? We'll have an idea when we see the grid where we stand. If we have the place differential drivers there, then I think I will build, I'll probably select two hogs, knowing that I only need one, and hope for a winning lineup and not necessarily the optimal lineup. But that's a bridge I will travel across when we get there. Infinger place differential, Ekus, a place differential play. Ty Majeski, really nothing special there. Starts third, finishes second, average position fourth, but he's pretty affordable at 8,600. And you get Fogelman finishing a lap down, value driver. Is this another young truck? This is Lane's on point. You'll remember back in, 2019, it was Brennan Poole. This was kind of their final year of running those trucks before they really became, they pull them out every once in a while. But they were slightly still acceptable in 2022 when they would run part-time. Either way, place differential play starting 35th, not the worst equipment in the world. Fogelman, plenty of experience. Just one of the best drivers lap down. Tyler Hill gets it done. Starting 33rd. Lap down. The Hill trucks have had some pretty solid performances. So maybe that's something to circle around. Again, when you're looking at your value, you don't want to compare apples and oranges. You're not really comparing them to the top tier. You're looking at them saying, when you hit that grid, all right, which guy can be the best to lap down? Which guy can be the best two laps down? When they're battling at the end in the back pack, who's going to get the restart? Who's got a chance of moving forward? And even when you're making that decision, you're looking at the back pack and saying, all right, I've got this set of drivers. We're hitting a restart. They're all one lap down. Well, probably, regardless of the result, heading into that, you want the guy that has the maximized place differential. You got a guy in the back pack who beats all the other guys. One of the benefits of, imagine the restart towards the end of the race. Tyler Hill is one lap down. He started 33rd. If he can make some passes, that's a big gain. The driver that started 25th and is one lap down right there with that backpack, there's nowhere for him to go. He's not going to score any fantasy points. Even if he beats the rest of these drivers in the backpack and wins that class, he didn't score any fantasy points. Whereas Tyler Hill, he didn't win the class, but he finished midway through that backpack. He's going to score more fantasy points based on his place differential. I think Fogelman, starting 35th, doesn't have to be the top of that back, the C class or however, you imagine like an IMSA race. He doesn't have to be the best of that class of trucks because of his starting position from a fantasy perspective. If he is the middle of that class, then point per dollar wise, he's going to be a better play. So, some drivers that we've seen in the optimal lineup. Now, as we try to figure out who's going to be the best, we have to kind of decide what trucks have the most power, who's been the fastest this season. And I wonder if I can throw that on the screen. I can give you a sample of what I kind of am looking at the moment. We'll just look at Texas right here. And you see this big green splash on the screen. The drivers that were fast at Texas, which was generally a pretty green run. We all remember the beginning of Texas. Tyler Ingram was pretty chalky, and then bam, that blew up. But then the rest of the race, you may have forgotten, is pretty green. Get some cautions at the end, but they don't affect the racing too much. But for the most part, we did get some green runs. And during those green runs, we see the cream rise to the top. Race goes green. Cream rises to the top. And there it is. Kyle Busch, Corey Heim, Sanchez, Ekus. Lesser extent, St. Smith, Daniel Dyke, kind of surprising, and then Taylor Gray. But the dark guys, you know, the guys that ran 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in terms of top 5 laps, really not a surprise. Kyle Busch, number 1, yes. Number 2, Christian Ekus, I agree. Sanchez, 3, Heim, 4, that's fine by me, and then Taylor Gray, 5th. And as I've been saying on the podcast all year, he is my dark horse candidate to win the championship, and he's only getting better. Tricon has good trucks. They are only getting better. Remember, this is a relatively new Toyota team. I know Gilliland's been around for a while, but their new relationship with Toyota, it's going to probably take a while to grow. It's only season 2, and season 2 is looking pretty good. You got Heim, championship contender. Taylor Gray, championship contender. They're stout. Ekus looks good. Sanchez for Rev. Looks really strong. And obviously, anytime Kyle Busch gets in the truck, you know, shut the front door. Can't see on the screen, but I will talk about the same kind of situation when we look at top 5 drivers and we look at speed. And you could look at Bristol. I don't mind saying that. And if you look at Bristol, Christian Ekus, 249 of the 250 laps in top 5. Busch, same numbers. Next, Zane Smith. Matt Crafton has a terrific day. Tyler Ingram was there. Now, you know, Tyler Ingram obviously did not show up for Texas because he wrecked early, had his issues in practice. Heim had a ho-hum day. Taylor Gray had a ho-hum day, but Taylor Gray did run 174 laps inside the top 10. Heim still finished in 6th place. Just wasn't their day. It's a little surprising for Heim after winning the race before, but when you get Kyle Busch entered into the race, obviously someone's going to miss out on top 5 laps, etc. Either way, you go back to Bristol. Ekus, Busch, Zane Smith, Matt Crafton, Tyler Ingram, Heim, Taylor Gray. It's the usual suspects. We go all the way back to Las Vegas, and you have Rajah Caruth up there in a Spire truck. Now, Rajah didn't have a good performance at Texas because he was involved in slightly that Tyler Ingram wreck at the very beginning. Then he spins out the very beginning. Then it takes him a while to get back onto the lead lap. Finally does at the end. But if you look at Rajah's results after he finally gets back on, you can see him on the screen here. 31st, running outside the top 25 for most of the race because of those early race issues. But once he finally gets the free pass, he works his way forward. Lap 141, I believe he gets back on the lead lap. Now he just walks forward, runs out of time, but is able to climb up to 12th place. So, where I don't really think that he has the speed of the drivers that we've already mentioned, he definitely is a top 10 truck and in contention. And especially given what he did at Las Vegas, the speed that they had, he's going to be a contender this weekend. Ingram was very fast at Las Vegas. 5th most laps in the top 5, 4th in the top 10. Now, again, we do have to remember that some of those Las Vegas results are inflated because of pit road issues. But Ingram was clean and took a top 10 car, got a top 5. Corey Heim, remember, had his pit road issues, finishes 3rd. 3rd most laps in the top 5, 2nd in the top 10. Taylor Gray, 4th most laps in the top 5, 3rd most inside the top 10. Christopher Bell was there. Ekus had a slightly off day, which he talked about later during his North Wilkesboro test. Was frustrated with the lack of speed, but he seems to have found that speed in the following weeks at Bristol, at Texas, and that's coming into a Kansas race where he won last season. So despite not having speed at Las Vegas, they're fine. Crafton was solid with the 8th most top 10 laps at Vegas. He had Zane Smith, who had pit road issues, probably had a little bit faster race car. Also, his first time with the new team. Remember, no longer a full-time front row driver, doing part-time work with Bill McAnally. It's a great team, but, you know, jump in and out of a truck, not always the best situation, especially in your first ride. And it kind of showed for Zane Smith. although he did get a top 10, his numbers were not phenomenal at Las Vegas. But we have seen, as he's gotten more reps in that truck with that team, they have definitely improved. Infinger was there. And then Majeski rounding out the top 10, who had a really good race. Second most laps inside the top 5, fifth most inside the top 10. Poor finish because of pit road situations. It's been a rough year for Majeski. Coming in after Las Vegas, looking at the data, thinking, all right, this is going to be a good situation for him. But across the board, Thor has underperformed. Ben Rhodes is lost. Ty Majeski has been absolutely disappointing. He should be among these drivers that we were talking about. He should be in this conversation. He's not. Ben Rhodes, I'm not super surprised to see him just be a top 10 driver, if that. Matt Crafton is the big surprise. I thought he was dead in the water, and he's the one from Thor that's actually performing this season. Although I don't think Matt Crafton really has anything for those guys. All right, let's break down Kansas real quick. Let's look at that last Kansas race, talk about some of the stuff. Hopefully, I can remember everything in my head. How do I want to go about this? I would just look at the driver performances, I guess. Eckes wins by staying up front all day, benefits from the restart at the end. Taylor Gray looks like slowly working his way forward and is going to benefit from the restart at the end. Not an elite car that we mentioned, or truck. Running right there in sixth place, nails the restart at the end. In position, good speed, that's fine. Same thing can be said of Matt DiBenedetto. Attaboy for him, having a solid race, running inside the top 10. Corey Heim, we already mentioned, had a good race. Zane Smith, solid race for front row. Just wasn't his day, it appears. Hosover was very fast, easily could have won, led plenty of laps. Friesen, running in the top 10. Doesn't really benefit from the end at all. Sanchez loses those spots at the very end during the cautions. Ankrum gets a little bit of a boost, but overall, 18.2. I wonder if he caught a caution that boosted him, or did he have to work way through traffic that really hurt his starting position? Really kind of just out there grinding during the first couple stages, which we can see a truck do, just hanging on to the lead lap, not really racing. And that can sometimes hurt your average running position. But when it becomes time to go here in stage 3, he's able to get up there, make some moves, hold position, hold serve. Not bad. Jake Drew last year. Who was Drew running for? Let me double check. Jake Drew was running for Hattori. Hattori had two cars, trucks, pretty good day. So Hattori, a good day with Ankrum and also with Jake Drew. Garcia, just a typical Garcia day from McAnally last year, now with Thor. Roger Carruth, did I already explain that? No, but a solid day. Jesse Love, I believe, was running for Tricon. Yeah, and decent day. Infinger gets into a wreck, I believe, if I have to look that up. Anything else that's worth mentioning? I don't know if I really need to do a break. Actually, here's what we'll do. Sorry. See if I can find some things that I highlighted possibly on the screen. Nah, I think we're pretty good. Pretty straightforward race last year at Kansas. I think, do we really need to go over Texas laps? You want to go over to the Texas laps? I think we can go over some Texas laps. So if we look at Texas, our most recent intermediate track, it's Busch, it's Heim, it's Sanchez, it's Eckes. Busch pretty much runs away with the show for the most part. Who were some of the situations that unfolded? We'll look at our highlights to see if we can find some things that may give us some interesting things. That's an early wreck. Lap 2 takes out Ankrum. Carruth gets some damage. Carruth then spins on lap 12. What are some other pivotal moments in this race? I think Lane Riggs has to pit early. I don't think that ultimately hurts his race. The spins at the end. There's Carruth getting the free pass in lap 152. just pretty much a green flag race. Cream rises to the top. Oil and water split. Your backpack settles at the back. I would expect something very similar in this race as well. I don't think we really need to overthink it. Pretty excited. Let's look at some optimal lineups really quickly. Let's go back through that. Actually, let's look at the Texas optimal lineup first. So what worked in our last race? You had one hog. And there really was, I mean, Ekus and Sanchez, and that's kind of what we've seen at Kansas. Other guys are going to get some laps led, but they just don't work because of the pricing in the truck series, that we just can't afford the second guy that leads laps. We just can't afford the third guy. We've seen that at Kansas. The place differential just becomes a little bit more too valuable. Now, if the place differential is not there, and you'll know that as we build, then yeah, it's going to open the door to a second or third hog. In this situation, Tanner Gray starting in the back was obvious. So was Tyler Ingram, but the race just didn't work out for him, wrecking at the very beginning. So it goes. I'm going to change the way that this is formatted so we can see it a little bit better. Doing a little spreadsheet work live during the show. This is not a good podcast. Yeah, it's probably not the best sometimes. Trying to do my best to help you out. You can help me out by leaving tips, subscribing, sharing, recruiting more people to this channel. May package, $30, raceforthepryce.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Right, we had Ingram starting in the back. We thought, oh yeah, baby. Give me some Ingram. Sorry, didn't work out for you. Tough luck. Another rough day for Ben Rhodes in this race. All right, anyway, so Kyle Busch is your optimal. Taylor Gray. Corey Heim gets you 12th place differential, finishes second. Corey Heim starting 14th, definitely an appealing play. Sanchez starts on the pole, gets you the hog points, has a good day, but ultimately just ends up with 54 fantasy points. Corey Heim, you expect him to get in the top five, so he gets his place differential. While in the top five, he gets a couple more fast laps. That's 16 points. That's more than 15 from Sanchez. And his finish of second over third says, Heim, place differential win, Sanchez, hog out. Ekus gets 16, which is actually more than 16. Or actually, it's the same number, isn't it? But again, second place is better than fourth place, so Heim wins out. Then, because we are spending so much money on Busch and Heim, Gray is very affordable, thank you. Then we go to Parsons, starting 25th in the Henderson truck, which to me is in the top 20. And so for him to run 15th, not too much of a surprise. Obviously, Parker Kligerman got pretty good results out of this truck. As Parsons gets more reps, he'll get more out of this truck. Has a good race. Wallace Allen, probably the top, one of the top guys in the backpack, has a pretty solid race. Hangs in there. Maybe this Rayum team's getting better. Maybe they're starting to hit their stride. Maybe their connections with Tim Self and Sawinski and AM Racing are slowly growing. And, you know, we have plenty of races. I mean, we just went over previous Kansas races. There are plenty of examples where Lawless Allen has proven to be a decent driver. There have been plenty of times where Lawless Allen has burnt us in DFS. But he is not a talentless driver. He's just a lawless driver. And he ran well. Definitely gets a much better finish at the end than probably he deserved. With those cautions, I'm going to go and look at that. See if he just really took advantage of some of the restarts at the end for old Lawless. Seventh place. Yeah, it looks like he runs long and catches the caution. And so he jumps from probably what would have been. Yeah. Now, either way, a 21st running position for Lawless Allen, that's pretty good. Average running position, I believe, what, 18th? That's a solid day for a Ray-Im truck. That put them in position to be able to say, let's hang on, let's stay out, let's see if we can catch the caution. Other drivers that were a lap down couldn't do that. Other drivers that weren't running around 20th couldn't do that. He had enough speed to do that. He executed, his team executed. That's a good step forward for Ray-Im. That's the kind of thing that we expect out of like a Bailey Curry. Runs along, catches the caution, obviously gets a much better finish. But you know, that isn't magical mystery tour. It's not inexplicable. It's that, hey, this truck had enough speed to roll the dice, and it worked out for them. And obviously, Lawless Allen's going to be a guy that I like this week, and every time I'm really high on Lawless Allen, we all know how that goes. Daniel Dyer from McAnally runs up in the top 10 all day, finishes up front, just an egregious price at $5,800. Clearly had speed if he was starting six. The McAnally trucks are fast. As I've been screaming and shouting all year, Daniel Dye is better than advertised. Put a little bit more respect on his name. He's not a top 10 driver. But when we look at that top tier, he can be a top 15 guy. And on this day, he was a top 10 guy. And even if he's only a top 15 guy at $5,800, definitely worth consideration. I know that's a scary pick starting sixth. And absolutely no one wants to go there, and that's fine. You could have went down to Mason Massey and chase place differential. You could have gone down to Timmy Hill and chase place differential. You don't necessarily need to build the optimal lineup. You just want to build the winning lineup, and that's completely acceptable. You go to Massey, who finishes a lap down. Again, reviewing our strategy of who can just maximize points in that back class at the end. And even if Massey and Hill aren't the best in the back class at the end, when we line up and do the restart, and even if they don't finish the best, although they more than likely did with 20th and 21st, they have the opportunity to stack up those place differential points, whereas one of the drivers starting a little bit closer does not. And so that would be the winning lineup strategy as opposed to trying to be absolutely optimal and flirting with Daniel Dye, which is not something that I would recommend. I like Daniel Dye. He's fast. Looks good. Congratulations. And then we separate that and say, all right, well, what is my DFS stance? I don't want to play Daniel Dye starting sixth, even when he's underpriced and we're excited about the possible value when he comes in sixth. Hey, you know, we're excited for him to have a good race that day, but he's not going to be in our pool. We would much rather go with the tried but true strategy of building a winning lineup and trying to get the best of the tertiary class or the C class or the backpack, however you want to classify or categorize them. Let's take that value perspective that we just did here and look at the previous Kansas races. So we know that we are kind of building for one hog. And we know that maybe we consider a second and third, because there will be a second and third. But that is dependent on starting position. If we have top-tier equipment, like last year at Kansas with Taylor Gray and possibly Eckes, maybe Friesen's in that conversation. Smith is definitely kind of in that conversation, although he doesn't end up in the optimal lineup. If we have drivers that can touch double-digit place differential, get a podium or a top five, we're more likely to build one hog than top-tier PD drivers like Taylor Gray right here. Then we fill out our bottom two value picks. This one only required one value pick, but that's because Ankrum was priced low, so you can consider Ankrum a value pick if you want. But for me right now, what I am looking at going into Kansas is one hog, two, three, four are probably place differential from good drivers that are going to be top five-ish. And then five and six into my roster will be those value picks. And again, I will go winning strategy, not optimal strategy, and not necessarily play the fastest car or fastest truck amongst the value trucks, but to find out who can maximize points a lap down, who can maximize efficiency in that C class. And if we look at last year, it was Lawless Allen, two laps down at 5,000, but he comes in at 6.6 point per dollar and ends up becoming the better play amongst his peers. You know, Drew, Howard, all pretty affordable. Drew even finishes on the lead lap, but he's starting 10th. So then you do more of an apples-to-apples comparison with Cody Colby Howard running for Robaugh at 6,000, but he's $1,000 more, and you don't get that $1,000. And for the most part, does pretty much the same thing, 37 points to 33 points, but Allen provides some savings. So again, you know, we re-wrap, we reset, we look at the C-class at the end of the race, the Robaugh versus Wallace Allen in the Nice truck, which is top of the mid, top of the backpack. Both of these trucks are top of the backpack. Whereas Howard has the better day, you get a little bit more maximization from Allen, who started a little bit further back, who was significantly cheaper. Winning strategy, not necessarily optimal strategy, would have led you down that path. Let's look at the 23 spring race and highlight some of the value again. Again, we get Tyler Ankrum underpriced, starting 23rd. He would be a value play. You get your one hog, technically get two hogs, but even then, you're getting place differential from these drivers. Place differential, place differential. Oh, there's one race I do want to bring up. We'll close out with that one. Try to break some minds here in a second. Ankrum, pretty much value. Again, Taylor Gray, fourth driver in, top tier equipment, double-digit place differential. Doesn't quite get the best finish in the world, but he makes up for that because he is slightly cheaper. And then again, Lawless Allen at 5,200, starting in the back, finishing a lap down. Brett Holmes has a better day, finishes 14th. But Brett Holmes started 28th as opposed to 34th. Brett Holmes is 6,200 as opposed to 5,200. Again, building our lineups, going for a winning strategy, not an optimal strategy. We reset the field at the end, or however we want to look at it, and we've got that C-class racing against each other. I don't necessarily need Wallace Allen to come home the winner of the C-class. I simply need him to finish close to the front of the C-class. And if he does that, because of his place differential and his savings, he just is a better fantasy play. Congratulations, Brett Holmes, you win the C-class. Good job. But that's racing. We're talking more fantasy. Tony Brandinger, if you remember Tricon in this race. Yeah, she'll be out there in the ARCA race, the ARCA women's series. Sometimes I'm even excited about the ARCA series, and the ARCA series is turning into like W NASCAR. Wendy Venturini, just all she wants to do is hire female drivers, and that's cool. That's fun. It's awesome. I'd love to see some of them actually move up into the truck series, the Xfinity series or whatnot, but it doesn't seem to happen. I don't know what's going on, why these female drivers in the ARCA series are not developing, but I don't know. I don't want to sound like a misogynist. I'm rooting for him. I'm pulling for him. Hope that the day comes. Why not have more women in racing? I don't see any problem with it. You know we love Jinjo Cobb, and Jinjo Cobb is in the field this week. Come on, baby. J-Jo. You guys, the old OGs that have been with the Fantasy NASCAR podcast, remember we talked about J-Jo all the time in 2019. Loved it. Sometimes that ugly punt worked out. Did you just call her ugly? No. She's a beautiful woman. I remember going to the Dollar Generals back in 2010 as the economy was collapsing. And we all just went to Dollar Generals, right? And they had the Dollar General J-Jo Cobb cardboard cutout. One of my first favorite racers. Fascinating. Great story time. All right. So look at one more and then I'll do the weird one. 2022, look at our optimal lineup. You get your big hog and JHN. Then you got a place differential top tier. Parker, top 10, place differential, double digit. You know, maybe you don't want to consider him elite, but if you're heading this race, 24th for Parker Clearman, given what he had typically done in that Henderson truck, not too surprising. Colby Howard, 72 as a value. Get you almost double-digit place differential. Kaz, I believe, running for Young is your value pick. Also, maybe a little bit more expensive than you want, but Kaz starting 30th, the Young truck, you know that he's going to get decent Young equipment. And this is 2022. They still had a pretty good year. We know 2023 was pretty much a down year for Young. They're kind of coming back to life. And then just taking Hill out there. not probably the best in the C-class, moves forward. Don't want to overanalyze that one too much. Here's the one I want to look at, I think 2021. This is a fun optimal lineup to look at. Kyle Busch at 1,500. Pretty much runs away with the race, wins the race. But as you'll know over here, he doesn't end up in the optimal lineup. Crazy, isn't it? You couldn't afford him. And you end up with three drivers under 7,000, which is weird because you get Todd Gilliland at 69 and Rafael Lassard at 6,600. These guys were underpriced. Bailey Curry is probably overpriced. What a weird lineup that is. Good one to close on. Don't worry about that being the thing that pops up. But put a close on it, put a pin in it, wrap up this Fantasy NASCAR podcast. My early leans. Obviously, the trucks that we have talked about that are going to be fast. We're having trouble completely separating who is the most elite at the moment. I don't think there's much differentiation. If you look at their driver ratings, it's Sanchez, Heim, Ekus. Majeski is there, surprisingly. But he hasn't really shown up at some of the races I want him to show up at, the intermediate tracks. Don't want to cross him off. We'll see what happens when he unloads in practice. Zane Smith's going to enter into the field. As I've said, more reps has definitely been beneficial to him. Taylor Gray has speed. I don't consider him a hog yet or a fast lap guy. He's not Sanchez, Heim, Ekus category, but he's almost there. Say Majeski's almost there. Zane Smith could, because Zane Smith can play some shenanigans because he's not running full time. Can't cross him off. Running down through the list, I think that's pretty much it when we're looking at elite teams. And we'll talk later this week. We can do a price check about, you know, Cameron Waters and Connor Mosack and get into some of these more deeper plays. Thanks for joining me. Truly blessed to have you guys around. I love doing this. I love you guys. Trip to the Lights, fantastic.